you know, sometimes misunderstandings can take place. And when I walked in today and I said, oh, how thoughtful they brought me a chair to sit in on the floor there. Was I in for a surprise during the choral concert today? But anyway, we won't cry anymore. If you will turn to Genesis chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 4 in your Bibles. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Most of us will never be driven or motivated to relocate from beyond our present postal address. Think about that, most of us. Some people are privileged to live and die in the same community where they were reared. There isn't anything wrong with this at all. But there was a church member in a former congregation of mine, Virginia was her name, sweet lady and everything. She was born in the same house that she died. She was born in 1918 and died in 2014. Can you imagine being born and raised in the same dwelling all your life? That is almost unheard of today because people are so mobile and everything like that. Today's society is the most transitory in the history of civilization. People will reside on the East Coast for a few years and then suddenly accept a new job or transfer to California suddenly, perhaps. It isn't considered unusual for families to be separated by continents these days, whereas a few years ago, it was unheard to leave one's place of birth. It has been said that only gypsies and preachers move with more frequency than everybody else, and I believe that. I have a PhD in moving. There is a clergy friend of mine, good friend of mine, who has moved 6 times in 4 years. I didn't have time to do the arithmetic, but his stay at the churches were not that long, but also his personality sometimes can turn people to an irritating way, so I can understand why he was gone stayed just a short time at a church. A seminary professor said to me one time, cautioned me never to accumulate any Wedgwood china or Bohemian cut glass because of the likelihood of such articles being broken or destroyed because preachers do move quite frequently. Abraham was not reluctant, and I use Abraham here as his given name, even though in this reading it was Abram, but God changed his name later on. Abraham was not reluctant to pull up stakes and travel to a new region to live. Now remember, those were in the pre-truck and Allied van line days. So it wasn't all that easy to get everything. You remember, he had his wife, he had family, other family, had servants, had livestock. It was a big thing. He started out in his hometown of Ur, which is down in the, you know, Persian Gulf area, then relocated to a place called Haran, which was further up, and then into the land of Canaan. God had convinced Abraham to change his zip codes, speaking allegorically, several times, and Abraham was obedient in doing so. You know, genuine faith is not only something that is believed, but genuine faith is active too. It's never dormant. It involves a positive response to God's desires for our lives. The frustrating crux of the matter about discovering the will of God is, how do we know exactly what to do? How do we know exactly what to do? Well, the major component is understanding that advancing forward is the first step in living out our faith. Praying will either affirm or remove whatever reason we thought if it should be carried out. Abraham gave full expression of his faith by hearing the call of God and obeying it. Abraham wasn't given a crystal ball nor a Ouija board by God to let him know what the future held for him. Abraham's faith was a step-by-step procedure rather than making giant assumptions about what God wanted him to do. It could have created some disastrous consequences by jumping ahead of God. Abraham's faith was that way. Maybe Abraham's method is the model for us when we're trying to figure out God's purpose for our lives. If Abraham had decided not to obey God, Abraham would have been relegated to a footnote in human history. Now, does that mean that if Abraham had rejected God's call that he would have defeated God? By no means. In my opinion, God will always be the winner. You will never come out ahead. God will be the ultimate one who gets the victory. I know this for a fact because I've really struggled about going into the ministry for about a couple of years. And I tried every excuse under the sun and the moon. And none of them washed with God. I had to finally surrender and say, God, I'll be a minister then. You win. But I'm telling you what, I fought a good fight about it. I did. I dug my heels in. But you know, when I did yield to God, there was such a relief. There was no longer that my breath was being held in like that. I thought God could use me as an usher or a Sunday school teacher, but God wanted me as a minister of the gospel. Have I regretted that? Not at all. I have not turned back. But God wanted me where I am today. And I think that God knows where God wants you to. Don't ever think if you feel like, or something, I don't even know how I'm going to call it, feel like, but if you believe that God wants you to do something, however menial it is, don't think you are selling yourself short. Don't ever think God is shortchanging you. God can do wonders and miracles that we would never even assume could happen, like the young man who was on his deathbed, and God permitted him to get up out of that bed and walk out of that hospital. And so, a lot of times God will do things that will surprise the most skeptical person that we know. But don't ever, ever, ever underestimate God. The decision to trust and obey the will of God was the foundation for the superstructure of Abraham's great life. Refusal to have obeyed God may have implied on Abraham's part that God is untrustworthy and untruthful. Did you ever think about that? Sometimes our actions may not live up to the faith we have because we're not quite for sure if we have that much confidence in God. It is, and may I say this, there's an old term for this, it's not used much today, take a leap of faith in the dark. That's a scary thing to do. It's a fearful thing. You think Abraham had any fear? Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure his whole family. What about his wife, Sarah? Now, today is Women's Sunday, and I want to give a tribute to Miss Sarah. I'm sure Sarah felt the same way. But they followed God where God wanted them to go. And I think that's the way it is. It should be for all of us. When we are reluctant, that's when we rely upon God the most. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we are more self-sufficient and when things are going pretty well, we don't seem to really fall upon God and trust God? I don't want to use the word trust God. We don't want to look at God as the one that we can count on. We think we can count upon ourselves for everything. Well, we know that's not the correct way to do things. Why we don't call upon God during the good times, it's unbelievable. It happens to us all. But God is there for us. You know, some people wouldn't walk across their living room floor even if God called upon them to do so. Why? Because they don't listen. Have you ever been on the phone with somebody and you ask them a question and you hear nothing but silence on the other end, and turned out they were tying their shoe or watching television or something. Aren't you just happy when you talk to people like that? Well, they don't pay any attention to what you say. Well, you know, Abraham was a careful listener. He was a very careful listener. I'll never forget, a few years ago, a good friend of mine, he always talks 98 miles per hour a minute and everything, and most of the stuff he talks about is yawning subjects, so you just really want to close him out. And he used to blast me from high heaven, say, "Anthony, you never listen to a thing I say." He's from South America. And I had just won an award for being one of the best clergy listeners in the ministerial association where I was. So, you know, sometimes I think we can pick and choose. We should be very picky and choosy when it comes to listening to God. We may even not hear something God wants us to do and miss out on a tremendous blessing. We must remember that Abraham's faith background was pagan. Now, we don't know completely the entire reason God chose him out of that group over there in the Near East, in the Babylonian area, you know, of that place, the Persian Gulf area, but God did do that, and God told him, "I want you to be my own." He not only abandoned his family faith, he abandoned his homeland, because everything he was thrown to the wayside because of God. So listening to God was vitally crucial to Abraham. God still speaks to us today, but we aren't always as good a listeners as we should be. Amazing things could happen if we would only stop tuning out God and allow God's voice to reach us. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, otherwise known as Ike, was commander of the Allied forces in Europe during World War II. He launched the D-Day invasion on June the 6th, 1944. It was quite a painful decision for Eisenhower. The greatest amphibian armada ever assembled in world history could have also spelled the greatest disaster of all time, too. Now, did Eisenhower, with his West Point degree and all that, was he just brilliant, as structured everything, planned everything, and everybody had their confidence in him? However, numerous witnesses reported that Eisenhower spent hours upon hours in prayer with his chaplain. Ike, in fact, rediscovered his faith in God during this time. And indeed, faith in God was Eisenhower's only hope for the success of this venture. He knew that on his own shoulders he could not carry this off. He needed something supernatural. He needed something divine. He needed a power that was far beyond all the weapons the Allies could have even mustered up. He only could rely upon God to do so. Thousands of lives in the liberation of Europe from Hitler depended upon this humongous military assault, and Ike was not going to take any chances upon the frailties of human intelligence. He called upon the best source. It was God. Only God could have carried this thing off, and God did. Faith can truly become proactive and kick in when dependence upon God is 100%. Now, getting back to listening to God and rely upon the will of God, how do you do all that? Well, for one thing, you read your Bible, you pray, and don't ever rule out the advice other people can give you. God can use your family, your friends, your neighbors, maybe somebody at the grocery store. A lot of times God will use people that set in our pathway, and we can listen to them, and we should listen to them, and God will use those people. So God can use a multitude of things. Don't ever limit God on what God can do in your life and whom God can use in your life as well. Abraham shines as one of the stalwart people of faith throughout all history. Our faith, while focused on God, is influenced by events, both good and bad, that we encounter. You say you've had a rough time. God can use those rough times and improve upon them. It may sound stupid and ludicrous to think that God could use something bad, but God can use something bad. God might even be able to use something good to benefit someone else. So we don't know what God can do, but we have to put our faith in God and rely upon God to do all that. God, through Jesus Christ, creates worthwhile opportunities because of our Savior's love for us. People of faith are those who bless the world, leave their influence, and contribute to society. Do you have to be pretentious about it? Absolutely not. Do you have to walk up and down the street with a big Bible in your hand? Absolutely not. All you need is to rely upon God and allow God to do what God desires to do. It's as simple as that. So when you're faced with a dilemma, and I'm sure some of us here today have a dilemma, that we're a challenge that we might be coming up against, and that it looks like climbing the White Cliffs of Dover or Mount Rushmore or the Empire State Building. Whatever it is, don't think that God can't help you out on that. As I said earlier in the sermon, don't ever put limitations on God. It's only our limitations that we put upon God and our limitations we put upon ourselves. You know that scripture in Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? I think that's Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? So keep that in mind when you're faced with something. You may be faced with something today, tomorrow, in the week, but don't ever think that God will ever back away from us. It's God who is the one that cared for us so much. I like that scripture verse. We love because God first loved us. We have to remember that. That is our reassurance to living day by day in God's presence, and we will know that our faith will bless the world, and it can bless the world even in the confines of our own living room or at the airport, the supermarket, wherever it is. God will bless us. Keep that in mind as you leave this church today. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we're not quite for sure if we stack up to Abraham's faith or Dwight D. Eisenhower.